the sessions. It's based on the tree. We started with the roots, which is our God connection. Then we went to the trunk, which was our family, our marriages, our family. Then we dealt extensively with the branches, and that was life. That was our life management, time, the way we spend our time. And then now we are up at the leaves. I will teach a little bit, and Melanie will come and teach a little bit, and then I'll close it out. The leaves and the fruit of a tree represent the seasons of life and ministry. Seasons of life and ministry. This is really where we exhibit to the world who we are. And although the roots are hidden, the leaves and fruit reveal the stability of the root system. The leaves represent the type of tree we are, and the fruit is the offering we give back to those around us. Both leaves and fruit directly show others the quality of and what feeds our root system. It's our leaves. Matthew 7, beginning with verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. So the quality of our fruit comes directly from the root system. And we all need to remind ourselves that fruit cannot be taped or glued on the tree. It cannot be. It is an outgrowth of our root system coming up through. Now, in ministry, you can fake people out for a while. Well, I mean, you can fake lukewarm people out. You can fake people out who are not really flowing in the Spirit. We never need to be fooled to think that we can fake people out who are really praying. And who's in the flow of the Spirit. They may keep their mouth shut, but believe me, we're not fooling the people that we think we are. If there's a problem in the leaves, you can't solve it in the leaves. You've got to go back to the root system. But now, when we're teaching about leaves now, this is the key word for leaves. When you think leaves, think seasonal. Seasonal. So now, when seasons or stages change, the leaves are what falls to the ground. Now, in your mind, you may be thinking, not evergreens, and not this, and not that tree. No, this is based on trees that when the season gets to the point, it loses all of its leaves. For all of those of you who have that kind of a mind that needs to prove everything wrong just a little bit. So we need to embrace the concept of seasons. We should consider well our present season of life and ministry, and some seasons are longer than others. We're going to talk about seasons and teaching this lesson right after you honor the elders. I mean, this just could not have been put together any better. So we have seasons of ministry. You may have been involved in the nursery. You may have been involved in children's ministry. How many of you senior pastors, you were ever involved in children's ministry in your life? Ever, Barry? Okay. Youth ministry. How many of you senior pastors were ever? And so we could go on, and I won't take the time now, tonight, because we don't have the time, but I'm telling you, children's ministry and youth ministry is vitally important. Vitally important. And I don't mean just babysitting, and I'm talking about equipping children and equipping youth. Sunday school or some type of intentional children's ministry is needed. Then there's young married ministry and middle-aged ministry and senior ministry and music ministry. And I love that presentation tonight about music ministry. And then you've got talking about seasons. These are just seasons of ministry. There's pastoral, there's assistant, associate, emeritus, bishop. There's all kinds of seasons. Sidetracking here a little bit. If pastor is anywhere in your title, even if they call you the maintenance pastor, I mean, it seems like now we're throwing the title pastor around a lot, and to each its own. I'm a little uncomfortable with you know, just throwing pastor on everything, but I do teach that if pastor is anywhere in your title, you better be willing to bleed for the cause. I mean, if you've got pastor in your title, assistant, associate, youth, children's, whatever, if pastor is in your title, then believe me, that is a major, major thing. And then you may have state ministry director seasons, or presbyter seasons, or district secretary seasons, or district superintendent, or AMR, associate, missionary, intermediate mission career, area coordinator. I mean, we've got all of these different seasons, but we had better remember it's all leaves.
Yeah.
It's all leaves. Brother Haney realized what Brother Bernard will at some point realize. It's all leaves. I don't know how many of you know the Willoughbys. They were just phenomenal missionaries to Singapore, great personal friends of ours. And they both died at age 50. Then you've got Brother DeMerchant that just passed away. And he literally spent 50 years on the missions field. But it's all leaves. So don't judge your success in the realm of leaves. Don't judge your success in the realm of leaves. I was awakened early yesterday morning with this thought about this. I've not taught this with this ever, but here it is. What is success? What is success? We need to wrestle this down. And we need to understand. Now, if you look in the dictionary, Webster, you'll see that it's favorable or desired outcome, the attainment of wealth and favor or eminence. So, success. What is success? What is success in our ministries? What's the target? What are we aiming for? Are we just so busy doing what we've always seen, and are we just passing down generations of frenzied work in the name of God? What is success? What does it take to be successful? What is the target? Is it a car we drive? Is it a brand of clothes that we wear? Is it the number that's in our church buildings on Sunday? What is success? Well, if you want to find it in the King James Version in the Bible, it's literally only listed one time. And we find that in Joshua 1 and 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And when you look it up, then study it out in the Bible. That's speaking of being circumspect and intelligent and considering the instruction and prospering and dealing prudently and skillfully. This is all speaking in the Word of God. Having good success, having understanding, having wisdom, behaving ourselves in the right manner, guiding people wittingly. That is the definition of biblical success, and we need to forget Webster and go biblical. So what is success? Success is obedience. Success is obedience to the Word of God. Success is obedience to the calling of God. Success is doing what God has called us to do, faithfully doing it where we are doing it, and we leave the rest with Him. We are then successful. So if we're doing that now, we are successful now. Now, if you want to keep following after Webster, it's going to drive you crazy. Because it's only going to be when you get that house you've got in your head or that car that you're super, super proud, almost to an ego level, to be able to drive, and your clothes and all this and position and all those things, and you try to mix that definition into the kingdom of God, and inwardly you will be imploding. But if you can settle what the Bible says about being a success, then we can be fulfilled and we can actually have joy along the way. So leaves. There's the principle of stages or seasons. You have seasons of life. We have it represented in this room. We have little babies all the way up to elders. It's the infant, the toddler, and preschool, and junior high, and senior high, and young adult. Then you get into decades, the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, how 90s, whatever. Some have married seasons. Some have grandparenting and grandparenting seasons. But I think this explains it well, because the seven seasons of life can be described in ills. Ills. I-L-L-S. It spills and drills and thrills and bills and ills and pills and wills. There it is. Right there's the seasons of life. So I don't know what you're dealing with, but there it is. And then that was hilarious what you were saying about you was going to have to give a plaque to yourself or something. That was... So what wisdom says is embrace today. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. And with each stage and challenge of life, we must do this. We must embrace reality, put our faith in God, and take the next best step. Embrace reality. Now, embracing reality does not mean, there's a major difference in being content and satisfied. Embracing reality does not mean we have to be satisfied with where we are, but we must embrace where we are. You embrace reality, you put your faith in God, and you take the next best step, and that does not speak of steps or quantum leaps. It's just the next step, and we don't need to miss the good of a season due to a lack of focus. So then we have a principle of positions. Positions, it's really the big one. And please don't let your position define you. Don't let a position define you. Who we are is much more important than the position we hold. And so please don't allow a position to change you from being the person that got selected for the position in the first place. I've seen people that they were wonderful until they got a UPCI license. And then I don't know what happened when they got licensed. It just caused something to go off in their head. And they were really great for the kingdom of God. And then now all of a sudden, I guess they think that, I don't know what changed. You know, it's just that can happen in our head. Some people are wonderful and loving and caring, and they're great servants of God until they get that position, that leaf, that season, and it absolutely changes them. And so if we don't understand how leaves are seasonal, we will anchor our self-worth to a leaf. And when that season changes, that leaf will fall. And then everything, we have just anchored our entire self-worth to that leaf, to that season. And so we must hold our positions with a loose grip. And we must stay tuned to the Spirit of God. I was very blessed in my life to be close to men who exampled this well. Four district superintendents that I was close to, I watched them hear the voice of God, and they knew when to make a change before everybody felt like they needed to make a change. Brother Lumpkin was my pastor. He could have been reelected. Brother Tenney was my district superintendent. He could have been reelected. J.T. Pugh could have been reelected. Bill Thomas, the pastor, the district superintendent in Arkansas. Not just district superintendents. I have seen people. Well, you had it here. You had it here. Where's Brother Lemke? Is he up? I must have called him out. I'm sorry that I brought attention to the fact that he is not in the room. But he felt that it was time for him to move. I remember that story. There are people that actually have a kingdom ear. We must have kingdom ears, but unfortunately, many do not, and many put more energy into keeping a position than expanding the kingdom from their position. And so what we have to remind ourselves is this: someone else will someday do what we are doing. Every one of us, if God tarries, I mean, some are pastoring churches that there was a former pastor. I mean, we have Brother Dylan here, but we have Brother Reynolds there. It's like it comes and it goes. And so I repeat, if we don't understand how leaves are seasonal, we'll anchor our self-worth to a leaf. And when the season changes, it is in trouble. We can be in trouble. And this is not the will of God for our lives, our families, and our ministries. It's not the will of God. I had a good friend many years ago. And me and several of our friends felt like he was the one for a position in our district. Years ago in Louisiana, and we came to the district conference with all intention to vote him in to that position, because we felt, we really did. I mean, I felt that he was the one for it. And so we get into the district conference, and he doesn't get elected. And I looked over at my friend, and I saw a look on his face that concerned me, in a major way concerned me. And so after the election that day, me and about four other pastor friends that was his friend, we all went to eat. And the whole focus of the lunch was, look, man, you know, hey, now let's move on. We wanted you. We don't understand why you didn't get elected. We think you're the best man for it. But, you know, don't let this get in your spirit. And we sat there for an hour and a half trying, because we all knew around the table we were in trouble. We all knew it. Because you could just see it on his face. And sure enough, it got in his spirit. And he ended up losing his ministry, losing his family, losing out with God. The story of this man that started a church and had the church up over 200. I mean, like in a few years. He was amazing at winning souls and all that. But that position got him. Not getting that position got him. What we have to understand is that it is just seasons. And positions are leaves, and leaves are seasonal. Now, time's getting away, and so I want to just mention this. I want to mention it quickly, and then I want Melanie to come and teach her part, and then I will close it out. We have to get a revelation of retirement or reposition. There's a major difference. Retirement is not a biblical term. Retirement is a Western society term. However, there was repositioning that started happening in the Word of God at age 50. And so we've locked in on age 65. Is it the way it is up here? Is retirement, whatever, around there? We've locked in on these ages as if it came from the council in Acts 15. Literally. It could be 65. It could be 68. It could be 70. It could be 50. It could be 55. It could be... We're talking about the kingdom of God. And we're talking about repositioning instead of retiring. All you have to do is read the definition of retirement in Webster's Dictionary, and all you'll know it has no place in the kingdom of God. It's like teenagers, not biblical either.
Yeah.
And so what we have to do is we cannot bring these philosophies of the kingdom of man and then try to make the kingdom of God fit the, you know, I got it on retirement age, and I, you know, as far as money and when it matures and whatever, I got all that, that's fine. But we cannot take the concepts of the kingdom of God and then bring them of the kingdom of man and make the kingdom of God operate under the concepts of the kingdom of man. It just will not work. But we've got to reposition. There came a time whenever I had to reposition out of youth ministry. I loved youth ministry, but there was a time I had to reposition, but my ministry wasn't over. There was a time I have repositioned, and God knows we didn't see the repositioning that God had for us 3 years ago. But you know what the Spirit said? The Spirit said reposition. Now, I don't know what in the world the future holds, but we're going to keep seeking after God and doing the best that we can to hear from God, and we're going to keep repositioning until we die. Elders, please don't die before you do. Don't die before you do. Please don't say, I've paid my dues. Pay your dues until you die, and let whoever preaches your funeral talk about the dues you paid. If you're breathing, keep pushing for the kingdom. It's seasons. But the transitions of seasons can really get real. Well, let's see. How many rabbits did I skip?
Never mind.
That would have been a short-legged rabbit.
Here, I'll let you do what you want with that right there. I think, actually, that I taught this last year. Was it last year we were here? Last
2017
Harvest
Northwest.
Okay.
May.
Yeah. Then, that's when I taught this. So most of you probably were here. How many of you were here at that? Okay, so a lot of you were here at that. I am not going to teach it in full the way I taught it there, because I know that probably there's something out there with that on it. But I will, the handout that we're going to give you following this session is a personal handout for you to take and put in your Bible and do over a period of personal meditation and personal devotion, a week, 2 weeks, a month, however long you want to take to do that. So I am going to go over it, because that is the handout for this session. But I talked about transitions and anchors in transitional waters whenever I was here before, last 2017. One word that can describe all of life is transition. And, you know, we're always saying, when this is over, well, we'll get to that when the retreat is over. We'll get to that when general conference is over. Well, after the mission service is over. What, on Monday, after the weekend is over. Well, you know, after lunch, after everything. It seems like it's, I'm going to do this, and we're after this. We start transitioning from the time we're conceived. And nowadays, you can watch it all happen on 3D sonograms. It's amazing to me. You can find out what kids look like before they're even born, who they favor and everything. Blows my mind. You can find out what developmental stage they're at. They have apps for all this now, you know, and it's just crazy. And then they're born, which is a huge transition. And then, you know, all the stages. And I'm not going to take up the time right now to go through all that. You understand all the stages. And then you understand that you go through them too, and it's like just whenever you think you're settled into one, you go into another one. And just when I get used to the way this is looking, it'll do this. Until I think we don't need mirrors. I think we need to outlaw mirrors. If I was president, of the United States, I would outlaw mirrors. Just kidding. But life is a transition. I'm talking to a girl right now, a great girl, and I say girl, she's older, she's got four kids. She and her husband have been pastors for a long time, and they're between. He felt God tell him to resign his church without giving him the next step, which is unusual. Usually you know the next step. And so they did not know, and so now they've been in this season between, this land between, for several months. And he has a secular job. They are attending a church until God shows them the next step. And he's definitely called of God. They're a great couple. But she is really having a hard time with it. She said, I go to church. I don't know where to sit. My place has always been the second row. I've always been a pastor's wife. I don't know what to do. I don't know what my identity is. I can understand. I can totally understand. That has been her identity. I've watched the women in our district. We have the Women of Worth. Do y'all have that up here? The Women of Worth, the widowed ministers, widows of ministers. And I've watched the Women of Worth. We try to minister to them, but it's such a hard, hard season because their husband dies and it's like their whole identity is gone. And so, looking at this and talking to my friend who is much younger but is experiencing some of that right now, and then looking back over my own life, realizing the unsure footing at many times of many transitions. How many, male or female, has ever felt unsure footing at some transitions in your life? Absolutely. And so many times, this is where people lose out with God, at a season change. The leaf falls, the season changes, and they lose out with God because they are not anchored. Their root system does not go down deep enough to hold up what they're experiencing. So, in thinking about all this, and I think I talked about this when I was here before, years and years ago, we took one of our first cruises, and we went down the Mississippi into the Gulf of Mexico, and about 2:00 in the morning, we had checked the weather, it was May, clear weather, no hurricanes, nothing in the forecast, so we think, well, okay, we've got this made, we're good. So about 2:00 in the morning, we were both awakened, the ship was just rocking back and forth, and I was thinking, oh, we are in trouble now. And for about 15 minutes, I got up and I looked out the window and it appeared smooth, but it was like something is not right. And then it calmed down. Everything calmed down again. So the next day we asked, did we go through a storm? What happened? They said, oh no, that always happens when we leave the Mississippi River and go into the Gulf of Mexico. So I thought, that's interesting. So I started researching that. And I found out that every time a ship, our boat, a vessel, goes from one body of water into another, there is always turbulence. Always. The seas may be calm. The body of water that you're going from and going to may be huge and stable and good. But there's always turbulence under the surface because there are two currents trying to merge together and become one. And this happens underneath the surface. Now, where we get into trouble is if we're going from one body of water into another and we have all that turbulence under the surface and then a storm comes on top, you're really in trouble. So I got to thinking about this and I thought, well, how do you do it? And I found out online that there is such a thing, and I have verified this with some sea people, and there are probably people like that in here. I don't know for sure, but I would imagine there are. I verified this with them. There are such things called sea anchors. Another word for them is drift anchors. They are shaped like a parachute that is sideways. So you have the strings, and then you have this balloon type thing, and it's sideways, and they are always on the ship. But whenever, they're going from one body of water to another, that turbulence starts churning underneath, and they will lengthen those sea anchors according to how much turbulence is churning underneath. And those sea anchors don't go down to the bottom, they just grab the water and they stabilize the ship. They don't stop the progress, they just stabilize the ship. If there's a storm that comes, they'll throw out more. Or if they need to anchor until something happens, then they'll throw out anchors that will go down and grab the seabed. But sea anchors are always there. They don't go down into the water. They just create a drag as the boat goes through the water and stabilizes it in the expected time of turbulence. They know, and they get them ready before they ever go from one body of water to another. They know it's going to happen, and so they have them ready. So if we could understand that every single time we go from one body of water to another, from one season to another, there's going to be turbulence under the surface of our life. And if we could expect that, and if we could prepare for that before it happens, then we will not only go through that season in a strong, stable manner, we will show everybody else how they can too. And we will provide strength to them. So, one word to describe all of life can be transition. Transitions always have turbulence beneath the surface. Two currents are attempting to surge, to merge, and a space of turbulence naturally occurs until all the waters begin flowing in the same direction. Sea anchors provide stability during the turbulence. They don't stop progress, they merely stabilize the vessel. Leaves and fruit are always transitioning. I know we're mixing our metaphors just a little bit here, but I believe that all of nature was created by God in the same fashion, and I believe that everything that nature, all the lessons nature gives us, can be used by us, especially when the word refers to them. So what are the sea anchors that I believe we should have in place in our life at all times? And I'm going to go through this really, really fast right here. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on each one. The prayer chair. We discovered this, and we talked about this the first night in our root system. The prayer chair. You've got to have it. This is what I've been trying to tell my friend. You find your identity in the Word. You find your identity in the pages of that book every morning. And you don't need a position to validate you. You don't need a seat in church to validate you. You don't need somebody calling you by a title to affirm you. You find your identity in your prayer chair every single morning. The second, a life purpose. A life purpose. This is what I want everyone to really listen closely to right here. Your life purpose is not your position. Your position can be a vehicle to help you accomplish your life purpose. But your life purpose is not your position. I really want to speak to pastors' wives right now. Your life purpose is not to be a pastor's wife. Okay? That's your position. In fact, that's not even a position. It's a state of marriage. But I won't get into that. Your purpose is not being a pastor's wife. What will happen when he's not a pastor?
Right.
Then, what will your purpose be? I would be up a creek without a paddle. What would happen then if I lose him and I'm alone? Am I supposed to sit down then and have no further purpose on this earth? Absolutely not.
Right.
No, my life purpose is coming to me from the Word of God. There are several things that you can, for the younger ones. I don't know what my life purpose is. I don't know. What verse calls to you from the Bible? And that's the third thing, a life verse. What verse calls to you from the Word of God? My verse has always been, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. For 30 years it's been that. And it was only in the last 10 years I realized that that verse was telling me what God wanted me to do with my life. The verse that calls to you, what is your favorite verse? The verse that calls to you is really usually what God is using you to draw you to your purpose. I was teaching this at another district, and after I got done, the ladies leader came up and she said, I know what my purpose is. I'm a kingdom builder. She said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. And that is what I've tried to tell people. You're valuable to the kingdom of God. I'm a kingdom builder. That's what I'll be. Right. She's an older lady. And it was like, yeah, I see that. But so many times we think our position is our purpose. And it's not. Our purpose is defined by the word that calls to us. The fourth thing is forgiveness. These are transitional stabilizers. These are sea anchors. Why do I put forgiveness up there in the middle of that? Because every time you have turbulence, there's hurt feelings. Every single time. Because somebody gets sideways with somebody else because the footing is unsure. And so somebody says, they looked at me funny. And then there you go. Forgiveness has to be there always, even if it's a great transition. Why are weddings so turbulent? Thank you. Because you're going from one season to another. Everybody's nerves are on edge. They know a change is coming, and then here you have hurt feelings. It goes on forever. Prepare for it. Know that somebody's going to get sideways with somebody else and then forgive them. And you say, well, my issues are much deeper than somebody getting sideways with me. My issues that I've had in my life are way, way, way deeper than somebody being smart at a wedding or smart aleck at a wedding. Yeah, I know. I know. There are things that are so deep you can't even talk about them. So how do you get past it? How do you not allow it to totally keep your boat just rocking and reeling, and even after you've passed into the other waters of the calmer channel? How do you do that? Forgiveness. How do you forgive? You pray for them. That's the only way I know to tell you. That's the only way Jesus told us in the Word. I believe that if you call somebody's name out loud every day and say, Lord, forgive. Lord, I ask you today to help me forgive Terry. This is an example. It's not real. Bless him, Lord. Bless Terry, God. Lord, I ask that you go before him. Send angels before him to prosper his way. God, heal Terry today. I know that he's not doing good in his body. God, would you please touch him today? God, help me to love him the way you love him. When you pray like that for somebody every single day, you cannot stay unforgiving toward them for very long. And then you pray this, and Lord, would you forgive me to the extent that I'm forgiving him? Father, forgive me as I forgive him. That's the Lord's Prayer. That's a stabilizer. That's a transitional stabilizer. Recognition and acceptance of your season. It's okay. It's okay to be in every single season that you're in. Write it down if you need to. What is the beauty of the season I'm leaving? What is the beauty of the season I'm entering? And the transition will become much less turbulent if you understand this. And the last thing, a life map. And that's what we're going to give you on your handouts when we pass them out to you. One thing that I teach with this is if you will make a life map, and I like to say I'm in the middle of my life map, We're going to put a long time if we're going to be in the middle of it. But anyway, I'm deluding myself, but that's okay. That's all right. I'm a little past the middle of my life now. But go back as far as you can and define every season of your life. Childhood, high school, college, young married, building years, this kind of thing. Now empty nest, this kind of thing. All right. Go through, define every season of your life and put your significance, your satisfaction, and your purpose on every season. What was your purpose? What was your significance? And what was your satisfaction in every season? It'll change. For example, my 30s. I had my children in my 30s. My significance in my 30s was that of a mom. My satisfaction in my 30s was being a mom. And my purpose in my 30s was being a mom. My love for my kids has not changed. It's grown more. But now that I'm in my 50s, thank you, Jesus. I can still say that. Now that I'm in my 50s, my significance, my satisfaction, and my purpose has changed from my 30s. In fact, it's changed probably 3 times in my 50s. Okay? So men have the same thing, but we don't stop long enough to see this, and we don't stop long enough to define this. But here's the key. What I have done and what I want you to do at some point in your private time with God is, I have mapped this out all the way till if I live to be 100. And if I live to be 100, what do I want my significance, my satisfaction, and my purpose to be in the next seasons of my life? Should my health hold? Now, if I'm 100, I've planned it to be on this life map. If I am in a nursing home, I don't have the use of my body, but I do have the use of my mind. All of my family, all of them are gone, and I have strangers caring for me. That's the assumption. What do I want to be at that point? What I want to be at that point is someone laying in that bed that is exemplifying the living word to whomever walks into that room. That's my personal goal. I want the word to come out of my mouth. I want any time that they touch me, I want them to feel a tingle of the Holy Ghost. But if I'm going to be that at age 100, every choice I make today and tomorrow is going to affect that. It's never too late to finish strong. So what am I doing right now? I was not a quizzer. We didn't have quizzing when I was growing up. I'm not a quizzer. So at this point in my life, I am starting to memorize scripture. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to memorize as much scripture as I can. And I have a whole thing on how we can do that at this age and do it well and do it efficiently. And I'm doing it. But I am going to memorize as much scripture as I can, while I can, so that I can metabolize that. So whenever I'm 100 years old, if somebody needs healing, all they have to do is come in my room, and I can't move a muscle, but I can say the word, and they can be healed. I can pray the prayer of faith for them. This is how we navigate transitions. This is how we find our purpose. This is how we live joyfully through every season. When the leaves fall, when the new leaves come out, when they turn yellow and they fall, and the new leaf, it doesn't matter. There's beauty in every single season. I want to tell all of you that I have not enjoyed being with a group of people such as you in a long, long time. You are special people called by God and empowered by God to do an incredible work in the Northwest. And I just think it's an honor that we have been asked to be here, and I thank you for your hospitality. And I pray that if we don't ever meet again this side of heaven, that you all will have some sort of a retreat in heaven and invite us to it and let us be a part of it.
Let me just say a few more things and close this out because I know it's late. It's very frustrating to see people struggling in their seasons. Yes. It's very frustrating to see teenagers just so messed up in life and worried about the future.
Right.
Really, it is. It's so frustrating to see young couples with small children feeling like that their life is now just shot.
Yeah.
For 5 years or 7 years or 10 years or what's that?
Forever.
Yeah. It is. It is. It's frustrating to see middle-aged people lose their purpose and have no fire. And it's horribly frustrating to see elders get to where they just turn into negative old codgers. That's not the will of God. It's not the will of God. It's the will of God that we thrive in every season. It's the will of God that we thrive, that we embrace reality, we keep our faith in God, and we take the next best step. So, in the transitions of life, we will either fret or we will flow. And we do have the opportunity to plan ahead for transition, to plan ahead for hurt, to plan ahead for betrayal, to plan ahead for the side of Ecclesiastes 3 that we don't like. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8 explains every season of life, and somehow, I guess, apostolics think that we're going to get a pass and we're just going to get the positive side. When life is life. I heard an elder say, we are known by our exits, not our entrances. We're known by our exits. Therefore, I say, let's not tear anything up on the way out when we leave the season. Let's not tear anything up. Whether it's a position, whether it's pastor, whether it's youth pastor, associate assistant, presbyter, superintendent, general superintendent, whatever it is, we're known by our exits, not our entrances. And let's not tear anything up on the way out. Let's not allow the spirit of the woman in 1 Kings 3:26 in our life. She was willing to kill the baby and live with a dead half. Then let the baby live and grow and thrive. Let's be kingdom minded.
Amen.
I won't tell a long drawn out story. I can say this, that it was a very interesting day when I finally got my office cleaned out. Because I was used to driving up to the same parking about the same place, walking in the same building, turning right for about 30 years. And so things grow and grow and grow and grow, and then God starts changing things, and I thought that I was going to be able to clean my office out real quickly, but it ended up taking me 2 weeks because I had to go through files, go through all this kind of stuff. And I will never forget sitting there at my desk with nothing in the office but the furniture. No pictures, it's all gone. Books are gone. File drawers are empty. Everything. I mean, I had spent a lifetime walking in that room and working in and out of that. And it was my habit. There was a recliner right by the door. And so it was my habit. Anytime I was going to church to minister, preach, to, you know, I'd kneel down. If I was going to preach a funeral there, a wedding, go teach a class, whatever, I'd have my Bible, I'd have my iPad, and I'd walk to the recliner, I'd kneel down and say a prayer, and then I'd go and turn right. You know, I'd walk down the hall and I'd turn right and go wherever on the campus I needed to go. Well, this day was different. This was the day. I didn't have my Bible, didn't have my iPad, wasn't dressed up. I was in old work clothes, and I go to the recliner, and I was walking out, and I stopped at the door of the office because I knew this was it. You know, this was it. So I took one more look at all, you know, all the bare things, and of course you got all these memories and everything just flying through your head. And so I turned around, I saw the recliner, And so I kneeled down, prayed a different prayer, walked down the hall, turned left this time, went outside, got in my car, and drove off. It was like a feeling that it was like I was on another planet. Because it was like, that was it. Listen, every one of you are going to do that at some point, or somebody else is going to clean it out because you're going to die. It's life. It's seasons. It's transient. We do not have to. The kingdom of God is big. It's big. So if our root system is right, and we come up through the trunk, and we're operating through the branches, when the leaves fall, we won't fall with it. But unfortunately, what happens many times, do you have that? Many times is we make the mistake of operating like this, to where we think that our seasons and our positions and all of that is our foundation. Don't live like this. Don't live like this. Your leaves are not your foundation. Your position is not your foundation. It's the kingdom of God, and we've got to make sure that we flip this right side up and that we live in a fulfilling manner. We embrace our season. We do the very best we can, putting our faith in God, continuing to take steps, and putting our lives and our futures in His hands. I'd like you to join the hand of your spouse if you are sitting by your spouse. And why don't we just close our eyes right now, and why don't we just pray? And listen for the Spirit of God to speak something to you about maybe something that we've taught, something you've heard. The Spirit may even speak something to you we've not even taught, but that's the way the Spirit works. But for the sake of the kingdom, and for the sake of our own personal lives, ministries, and families, and the lost people of our area, we got to get this right. Can we just talk to God just for a moment here? I wish we would just turn this into, it's not going to be a long prayer meeting, but can we just open up our mouths and ask God to just help us to embrace seasons, to help us to be able to embrace where we are right now, not fight against the stage that we're in right now. God, we come to you. We need you. Every one of us are seeking to give you our life. We're in ministries and we deal with pressure, and you understand that. But God, do a work deep within us individually. Help us embrace where we are. Help us to see the value of where we are. God's Spirit's very strong in this room right now to touch somebody in a very deep way and to assure you that He knows where you are. Let the power of your Spirit do the work. Let the power of your Spirit do the work right now, God. Give somebody the assurance that you know where they are. Just let the Spirit of God touch you and renew you. Thank you.
sang with anxious lips, lips that nearly give my very best. Help me remember your cross, O Lord, and be willing to save me.
Let's just entertain the presence of the Lord. He's moving right now. Amen. Let's not get in a hurry, but let's let the presence of the Lord speak to us. Amen.
To be more like you.
feel the presence of the Lord. God's ministering to us right now. Amen. God's